It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in Matthew chapter 26. We're going to begin reading with verse 21, even with verse 20 maybe. And so Matthew chapter 26, verse 20, we're going to begin there. And so as you look that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to call us, it's 217-847-2717. If you would like to send us an email, it would be parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com or parkviewbible@gmail.com. Either one is fine. And if you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies there, our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, everything is there. So please that you would take a few minutes to look that up. And again, Parkview Bible Church, .org. Please that you would look that up and don't miss it. And again, parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, beginning to read with the 20th verse, Matthew 26, verse 20. Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say to him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and gave it and break it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into Mount Olives. Let's begin with prayer before we start today. Father, please that you would guide and lead us through these wonderful verses of Scripture, that we may hear from you and we may know your will and way for these verses of Scripture. There is much, I believe, misunderstanding of what these words are saying concerning the Lord's Supper. And so, Father, please, with all care and love and desire to teach the truth, that all will hear nothing but your precious word as your Spirit speaks to them. So please guide and lead us now. Lead us to the cross of Calvary if folks do not know you as their personal Savior. And if they do, then, Father, let them be led by your Spirit to the truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, first of all, we kind of come down through that point where we recognize and realize that for the first time it is told that it's one of the 12. We find before that they speak of that concerning the betrayal, things of that, and we have listed in verse 14 through the 19th verse concerning Judas and what he has done and everything. We've talked about that. And now we come, and again to the 20th verse there. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them say unto him, Lord, is it I? And so, as we've said in the past, isn't it something how that it was Judas was so much a deceiver in his life that he lived up to being what most people would call a good Christian. He did everything. He worked. He served. He was a treasurer. He did everything. And it was so effective that no one even thought that it was him. And even to the point that each one asked, all the way to the very last in verse 25, when he says, Master, is it I? Now, we've got a lot of things to look at here in this scripture. And so, first of all, before we do, we're going to go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. That's the Gospel of John. Chapter 13. And we're going to read from verse 23 to 30. We find in the 23rd verse here of chapter 13 of John, Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved, and we know that was John. And Simon Peter, therefore, beckoning on him that he should ask how it should be of whom he spake. And then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake unto this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Now, we need to see, and again, that begins with the same verses we started there, verse 23, but if we'd read verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. And so that gives us quite a sight there, quite an insight of what was going on. And we know that John was so close to Jesus. John was very young, and he was very close to the Lord Jesus, as Peter was. And so you find the two of them involved in this conversation. And so Simon Peter beckoned to him that he should ask. And so because John was the closest, Peter wanted John to ask him. And so then it comes out that Jesus answered, It is to whom I give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, we don't know whether just John, we don't even know if Peter understood what was going on here, but he told John what was happening. The rest of the disciples, according to the scripture here, did not understand what was going on. They thought Judas was just going out to buy things for the feast. And so now when we come back to Matthew, and having that filled in a little more than what it was, we realize now that what was taking place, and again, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, here it caught a little dish of soup or of material to eat, and the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But who unto the man of whom the Son of Man is betrayed, it hath been good for that man that he should not have been born. Now let's go, as we read verse 24 here, let's go back to Psalms. Psalms 41. Verse 9, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. What a statement that David gives us. Now, we're going to go on to Isaiah, because we have much to learn from the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to go to Isaiah 53. If you're familiar with your scripture, you will realize what message that I'm about to read. Isaiah 53, and we can even begin with the first verse of this chapter, and we're going to read all the way down through verse 12. So Isaiah 53, whom hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. He shall, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, when we read that, that very clearly speaks of the crucifixion. It speaks of his life. It speaks of who that that Jesus, his purpose, why he came. And so it's so important that we understand that, yes, Judas betrayed him, but his time was come. And so we will be reading that again a little later in the study in Matthew. But I wanted you to be reminded of that because it gives us so much evidence of what took place in the crucifixion, took place even in the life prior to the crucifixion concerning our Lord Jesus. And it's just a tremendous verse of Scripture. So please keep that in mind, Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12. And we will be reading it again later on when we get closer to the crucifixion. But I wanted to remind you that the man that's betraying him, it was already prophesied 750 years prior to this, exactly what was going to take place. So here we have it, and we're to that time now. Now, if you'll notice another thing here, not only did Jesus tell him it better be better if he had not been born, every person is born, and we have set before us an opportunity of salvation, as Judas did. Judas made a decision not to trust in Jesus. Even though he walked with him for 3 years, he never truly trusted in him. Now, we have evidence here in the Scripture of many. Nicodemus is one. Nicodemus made the decision to trust in the Lord Jesus, but he lived much of his adult life without the Lord Jesus, as Paul did, or as he was Saul then. He worked. He was a righteous man when it comes to the world's concern. Nicodemus was a righteous man. And here we sit with Judas being with the disciples for 3 years, and more importantly, with Jesus for 3 years, living a right life. As we would look at it, it would appear to be a righteous life, because none of the disciples considered that it was him. But you see, Judas made a choice not to trust in Jesus. That's the only way that the devil could enter him. Demons can never enter a believer, a true believer. But you must make a decision. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must call upon him. It's not something that you just evolve into because your parents go to church and you have attended church and you work in church and all those things. It is a personal relationship that you make with Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit calls you. And when he calls you, he shows you first who you are. And that's the reason you have to confess your sin. Oh, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a poor, wicked sinner. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does first. He shows us that we're a sinner. Then he introduces to us the Savior, the Lord Jesus. That's the purpose. The Holy Spirit's the comforter. He shows us who we are and what we need. And then he introduces us to Jesus. What a wonderful opportunity. Well, we see something here, because in verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Master, is it I? There is no record that Judas ever called him by his name. See, master means teacher. He never once called him Lord. There is no record of Judas ever speaking and saying to the Lord Jesus, Lord. There are many references with the other disciples, but not with Judas. Because, you see, Judas just knew him as a great teacher. Not as a savior. Not as Lord of his life. So I'm asking you that you don't make that same mistake that Judas made. Don't make the same mistake that Nicodemus made a lot of his adult life. But then he came by night. He was searching. See, the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament and before Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross and rose again, the Holy Spirit came upon people and convicted them, showed them the way. It's the same thing. The only difference was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come upon them. The Holy Spirit would come upon empower believers to perform and to prophesy, things like that in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. The day that you trust in Jesus, he comes to live within your heart. So it's so important that you see that, but you know that it has to be a decision. It is a time in your life that you'd never forget. You can't do it as a baby. Many do it, they're very young. But you need to recognize that you're lost. The Holy Spirit must come, must convict your heart, show you're lost, and then he will introduce you to Jesus. That's when you say yes. There's 11 here that said yes to Jesus and could call him and did call him Lord. But we have one, and his name is Judas, refused. He thought religion was enough. Do you think religion's enough? Because it isn't. If you think so, it's not. You're going to wake up the day that you die, and you're going to die. The day that you die, you're going to wake up, and you're going to wake up in the place of torment. And you're going to say, as some did, I prophesied in your name, I healed in your name, I did all these things in your name. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't want that to be you. I want you to trust in the Lord Jesus. I don't want you to miss that. Judas missed it. Judas walked with him for 3 years. Nicodemus was in church all of his life. Paul, very, very religious man, name was Saul at the time. And we have other examples in the scripture of people that were so religious and yet lost. I don't want that to be you. I want you to know the Lord Jesus. I want you to come to him. Trust in him, please, please. You see, Master, is it I? He did not say Lord, because he did not know him as Lord. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Jesus said, thou hast said. Let's go back to John 13, verse 18. We were in the 13th chapter before, but this time we're going to verse 18. It says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he hath eaten bread with me, hath lifted up his heel against me. Much like the other scripture. Now, again, chosen. Chosen. Judas had a choice. And we're going to go back to another verse of scripture in a minute, if we have the time. But first, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Acts chapter 2. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, when we look at that foreknowledge, as we look at the scripture and we see those words, the foreknowledge of God, God knows who is and who is not going to be saved. He does not make that decision. You make that decision. Don't think for a second, because I hear this so often, I don't know anybody that's going to go to hell according to the preachers that preach his funerals. Because every single one of them says, oh, their pain is gone, they're in a better place. That's not true. There's hell and there's heaven. And I need you to understand that most people today go to hell, go to the place of torment, because they have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are not in a better place, and their pain is not gone. They have to make that decision. They need to trust. Judas had a choice. God's foreknowledge did not change the nature. He had a choice. Had a choice. Please, don't you make that same choice. Don't you make that same decision. Please trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, as we look back here and we enjoy the scripture, and again, I don't know that we have time, but we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8. Because I want you to see that everybody has a choice. Yes, God knows. God knows what that choice is going to be. But you have a choice. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. This is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How many times have you just heard the words, we know that all things work together for good? You need to love God. The only way you can love God is to know him as your Savior. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, they also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so all that works together, and we're so close to time here that I'm going to probably start here next time we get together, because it's so important that you realize that because of God's foreknowledge, because he knows that you're going to say yes to him or you're going to refuse him. And if you say yes to him, he has set before you a beautiful life. He has set before you peace and joy. It's set before you if you say yes. Now, you have decisions in that life to make that walk down that path, but he gives you every means. He gives you means of victory over sin. He gives you means of a glorious life. God wants to bless you. And if you will just come by faith to him, he will set before you a life. It is as speaks here, predestined. Well, that word predestined means to some can be saved, some can't be saved. That's not true. My dear friend, please, what are you going to do about Jesus?